People have a great deal of the practical, and they have very little of the idealistic. These people are called the workers with no imagination. And some people are very idealistic without having much that is practical. And these are the dreamers who do nothing. Somewhere between these two extremes is always found something that is truly beneficial. Idealism that is not practical is of very little benefit to anyone. It is a mistake to believe that we should live in this world as aesthetics. And it is a mistake to believe that we are in the world for a short period of time. And the sooner we get through with this world, the better off we'll be. To pass through this world without getting the joy and the satisfaction that it offers is to lose a great deal. On the other hand, The one who is idealistic has not yet really begun to live. The totally practical individual, who lives only to accumulate security and material wealth, lives a wasted life, a life of constant fear. But we need both. The ideal is the thing that we strive to reach. It is that which makes us go forward. It is that which makes us all unique and makes us all uncommon. Herbert Hoover, one of our former presidents, once said that care should be taken not to develop into a nation of common men. A nation of common men is a nation of mediocrity. Great human advances have not been brought about by common men and common women. They have been brought about by uncommon men and uncommon women. When your car breaks down, you don't take it to a common mechanic to have it fixed. And if someone you love is sick, you do not want a common doctor to take care of them. And every single parent wants to have a special, talented, and uncommon child. The pursuit of excellence, the pursuit of exceptional accomplishment, is ideal. Most of us are idealists, whether we believe it or accept that label or not. Most of us strive for something better. As followers of the teachings of Jesus the Christ, we are all Christian idealists. Christian idealism is not an easy path to follow. As divine scientists, we study the teachings of the Master Jesus, and we discover that we are spiritual beings. We discover that everything and everyone lives according to law. We discover that there is not such a thing as luck or chance. As Christian idealists, we learn early on that it is a discipline only for the strong. It is not a discipline for the weak or the wavering. It is a discipline for the courageous. It is a discipline for the adventurous. It is not for the oscillator or the flighty. Jesus Christ came teaching a gospel of love. Love ye one another, he commanded. Ours is a teaching for the strong, for it requires each and every one of us to love, even where there seems to be no love at all. It requires doing what should be done rather than what we would like to do. The practitioners of a Christian idealism do for others, even where there is no evidence it will be acknowledged or appreciated. Remember, we are told, love that is given shall not return to thee void. The followers of Jesus consider his life as the full expression of the ideal man. However, those that follow Buddha would say that the highest plan for life came from Buddha. And the Hindus might say that Krishna gave the highest ideals concerning life. There is a fulfillment in the lives of each and every one of these followers. But there is only one God. We have the habit of throwing all kinds of labels around ourselves. But there is only one God. We have a million different kinds of ideals concerning life, and most of us are trying to live up to these ideals according to our individual fortitude. Your ideals may not be how the rest of the world believes, but the way the rest of the world believes is the common way. The individual who is deliberately trying to live out their life according to their ideal is the uncommon individual. Now people will say of this individual, "You are totally out of step with life. You are not living up to the standards of the world. You do not seem to care. You do not sympathize with your misfortunes or our misfortunes. You should conform more to how other people live and what they expect." Now the records show that John the Baptist and Jesus had the very same problem. Of John it was said, "Why, this man neither eats nor drinks. He goes out into the wilderness and he separates himself from his fellow man. That man hath a devil." That is how they explained his unusual actions. Now Jesus, on the other hand, he went out among the people, all kinds of people. He ate and he drank, and he apparently did very much as the people about him did. And of him they said, "Behold, a glutton, a wine drinker, a friend of the publicans and sinners." You cannot adjust and live according to someone else's ideals. You cannot live the way another lives. We have our own ideals, and we live them out in our lives the best that we can. We make mistakes, but we acknowledge them and we correct them through our actions. We live in a world of action. To dream and to do nothing and then expect something to appear is foolish. There are people who go to church every single day and they say their prayers every single night without any results whatsoever. They will say that they believe, but their very actions betray their belief. There is a story of a metaphysician who was asked by a farming community to pray for rain. Now, this little community had been without rain for a very long time, and they'd been praying for rain for weeks on end without any results. Yet every last member of the community insisted that they believed in the power of prayer. Now this metaphysician asked the community if they believed that he could bring them rain. To every single individual in that community, the answer was yes. So he asked them to meet him the following morning in an open field. When they all gathered together as they were asked, he looked at them and he said, "You say that you believe that I can make it rain. So I ask you, why is it that only one single child brought an umbrella?" You see, our actions betray what we really believe. Of what use is an ideal which never finds expression? Of what benefit is it to dream dreams and build castles in the mind and never see them take form in the world? To hold an ideal in mind is one thing, but we should bring this ideal out into the world. We should share it, watch it blossom and grow. We all hear statements made of people such as, "He has wonderful ideas, but he never carries them out. He's great at making suggestions, but gosh, it would be nice if he attempted to implement one of them during his lifetime." Now, a wise man once described this type of individual as devouring a cookbook with his eye while starving to death. There has to be action. There has to be movement. There will be errors. There will be mistakes, no doubt about it. But errors and mistakes will be in the process of working out the ideal, not in the ideal itself. No one would ever think of keeping a baby from trying to walk even if the baby tumbled and fell from time to time. So the baby might get a little bump or a little bruise. So what? This is the learning process. The errors appear in the process. There is absolutely nothing wrong with the ideal. The falling down will make the baby more careful, and it will overcome the condition of falling. A mistake is not a reason to forsake the ideal. Every time the baby tries to walk, the effort and the action is creating strength, it's creating determination, and it is creating confidence. So be thankful for your mistakes. Every time you make a mistake, you have the opportunity to grow a little bit more. Your mistakes are stepping stones to greater things and to bringing your ideal into the world. Your ideal must find expression in you and through you. An ideal which is borrowed from another and expressed in your life is flat, and it's boring. It's not alive. The love that is in the gift that has to be given is not the same as the love that is in the gift that is given because of an inner desire to share, to express outwardly. A copy of a painting, regardless of how beautiful and how exact the reproduction, there is something about it that does not live. It is not living because the copyist has not put his thought, his feeling, and his soul into the picture. Your ideal carries with it your feelings, your inspirations, and your hopes. It is alive with the you that you are. The manifestation of your ideal, this living object, is a part of you that goes out into the world. Whatever ideal you give birth to has you in it. Whatever ideal you have brought into the world, into your home, into your office, into your work, or into your relationships, has you in it. It lives because of you. Do you not know that the spirit of an artist is in his paintings? Do you not know that the spirit of the composer is in his music? And that the spirit of the architect is in his building? I believe that all of you know that. But do you understand that right now you are an expression of an ideal? Do you know that you are an ideal made flesh? And do you realize that you live because a mind gave you life? God gave you birth. I have put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. Just as the spirit of an artist and a composer lives in their works, know ye not that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? The process through which you manifest your ideal in the world is the same process which brought you forth. Your ideal is perfect in your mind. The manifestation might be imperfect, but that is because it is being worked out. Because it is perfect and completely finished in your mind. You are perfect in mind, in the mind of God, for you were created in His image and after His likeness. The individualized expression which you are right now is imperfect. But that is because you are in process of working out your perfection. You are just in process. We are all in process. You are like a rough block of beautiful marble that is being chiseled by a sculptor. You are getting there. Your destiny is perfection, one with the ideal which is in the mind of God. The mechanics, the process, your body, your present state of consciousness shall all pass away, but the ideal lives forever. You will live forever. The practical men of Jesus' generation have been forgotten, but the living expression of the Master's ideals live on. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall not pass away. The Master came teaching the highest ideal conceivable to the mind of man. He said, "Ye are the children of God. Hold your ideal steadfast in mind. Be oblivious to the urgings of conformity to the world, and do not be swayed. You will not break. Hold your vision. Your vision transcends the human cries. Be open and receptive only to God. Know that in quietness and in stillness and in confidence lies your strength and your determination and your courage. Your ideal leads you to greater and finer things. Your action will bring it forth." The Christ Jesus lived out his life, awareness of the truth of the highest magnitude. And there is no difference between you and the Master. There is no difference whatsoever. None. He left no doubt in anyone's mind, for he said, "The things I do, ye can do also. Even greater things." Shall we begin now to make this lesson practical? Will you please join me in our closing meditation? So take a moment now to get comfortable in your seat. Put your feet flat on the floor and rest your hands in your lap or at your side. Just get comfortable so that we don't call any attention to our body. And just relax for a moment. Take a deep, deep breath and release it slowly. And as we release that breath, we are letting go. We're letting go of all of this world. Letting go of worries and fears. Letting go of anxiety. Letting go of sadness and grief. Letting go of sorrows. Letting go of all of the things that are on our list of things to do. And we are resting in peace and in quiet solitude. Knowing that our Father is right here where we are. In the stillness, in the quietness, in the peace and the harmony of this sanctuary. Let us be still and know. In the stillness of this moment, the still small voice within me is saying, "I will overcome." And the voice is saying, "To him that overcometh, I will give to eat. And to him that overcometh, I will give power. And to him that overcometh, I will make a pillar of strength. To him that overcometh shall inherit all. Health, peace, harmony, beauty, kindness, patience, joy, love are yours right now. Be still and know that I am God. Amen." The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes his light to shine upon you. He is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and he gives you his infinite and eternal and unconditional love. He gives you his wisdom and his peace and his understanding. He gives you his infinite good. Amen.